It's June the 4th, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good great planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. This is PJ, your internet pastor, and just thought that I'd check in and give you some early summer thoughts as we're getting ready to embark upon summer of 2015. Look at the news and look to see what's going on around the country in your world. The semester ended and I have a little time, more than a little time, than enough, because I'll be off all summer. Gives me an opportunity to work on the book, writing it, getting that done, and spending some time talking to you about my homespun faith, and it is in God. And in many of you, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Eric Reed, from his album Stand, a nice number called Adoratio, or Adoration. And I think that's always a good thing to have. What's been going on in my life? Well, just haven't quite ended up the semester. I have to, I got one complaint from one student. Can you believe that? But I'll go back over everything and check out everything and make sure that it's proper, and so that we can give the proper grades to the proper students. We want to do that. I want to share with you, I had a wonderful discussion today, as a matter of fact, with one of the students as we ended up. And I like speaking to the students that I teach. Love all my students. I talk about that so free and easy. And you know, it's kind of a weird thing because it's summertime. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something, but I don't want to go anywhere and do anything. I was on CNN, and I became aware of a lot of the destruction and the crazy things that's going on. I guess the latest thing is Usama Rahim's Boston terror plot. How deep does his network run? I was looking at that today, here on June 4th, and I'm telling you, I gotta fade out the music so I can give you some real deal insights here. I was talking to one of my students today, and he, very nice, very intelligent young man, and he knows that he can always come up to Professor Coleman and have a great conversation about life and about the way it is. And he was telling me, he mentioned a statement as he was speaking to me that that is, you know, because I was telling him how I get along well with the culture that I live in is because I've embraced it. I've inclined myself to be a part of the culture. I don't understand why I should hate the culture that I'm living in because I'm older. I really desire contact with people. Transparency is a word. We were talking about that word, and the student said, you know, I was thinking about that because that is what is missing. And I was telling him, of course. And it was a world's religion class that we were talking about. So we're just ending up our discussions on that. And one of my primary discussions this semester has been, why has America gone thumbs down on her homespun religion, Christianity? Why? Why? And it's simple. It's simple. I was sharing with the young lad, and I said, in my homespun faith, the faith that I ascribe to, because he was telling me about he doesn't understand everything that he was taught to teach or to share about in the church that he went to. And I said, that's because I went headlong into it. I said, I discovered what it was all about. I knew what it was all about. I know what all of the things mean. And then when I see headlines like Usama Rahim's being shot by police, and all the stuff that's going on about the shootings in Boston and Boston Police Commissioner William Evans told CNN on Thursday that authorities were watching Raheem around the clock for about 10 days because of concern that he was moving to launch an attack. And, you know, so we have the controversial of, hey, they're listening to us over our cell phones. They're watching us over our pads and everything. Well, watch. If you don't have anything to fear, if you are legally doing what is legally correct and you're not harming anyone's life or fooling around with minors and all that kind of stuff and trying to blow up stuff and cut people's throat, well, I don't mind them looking on my cell phone record, seeing who I call, seeing every picture that I took, who I passed it to and everything. You can have it. Listen, come to the point in your life that even though we are living in a Big Brother system, that it's all right. That somebody got to watch somebody, because there's a lot of Raheems out there want to blow up stuff and want to maim people and kill people. It says, I'm reading from the CNN report here. It says right here that officers shot Raheem 2 hours after he allegedly talked to Wright, his cousin, in a tapped phone call Tuesday, authorities have said. Raheem planned to come out swinging with a knife to kill police officers soon, probably today. Wednesday at the least, it said, according to the FBI agent Joseph Galetta. I should get that name right. Then it says, I'm just going to go after them. This is a quote. Those boys in blue, because it's the easiest target, Raheem told Wright. Now, if his brother heard that, his brother should have immediately said, man, you out of your mind, and don't be calling me with that bull crap. I don't want to hear it. But since he didn't, he's complicit in it. His cousin is dead. And God only knows what else is going to come out of this. It says that Raheem had recently purchased three military fighting knives on Amazon.com. Man, I didn't know that you can do that, but I guess you can. The FBI intercepted at least one delivered and x-rated before letting it continue on to Raheem. So they knew that the knife was in there. He was originally planning to behead someone in another state. My God. We are living in perilous times, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a black man, born in this country. Man, just, come on, man. We got generations, entire generations growing up without God. With no God there at all. You know, and that's what makes it so disturbing. His target, conservative blogger Pamela Geller, who had organized the Prophet Muhammad cartoon drawing contest in Garland, Texas last month. Law enforcement sources told CNN. So he was going to try to kill this woman for doing that. And the two men tried to shoot the participants at the event, but an off-duty police officer working security shot them dead. Good for him. I mean, I'm saying, wait a minute. This, I ain't talking about nobody's religion, but is that the way? It's, come on, man, we're living in perilous times. You people need to know that. Now, I'm continuously reading this article on CNN today, and it says, it says that they are coming after me for violating the Sharia, for violating blasphemy laws, and they mean to come after everyone, she said, drawing a cartoon, an innocuous cartoon warrants chopping off my head, this lady says. That's too far. I just don't understand this. See, because you're American, you know, and they say, ooh, We're living in perilous times. They're going to come for you too, Chris, she told anchor Chris Cuomo. She blamed news outlets such as CNN for not airing cartoons on the Prophet Muhammad after the terrorist attacks on the sacrificial French magazine, satirical French magazine, Charlie Hebdo, which is known for publishing cartoons that mock all religions, including Islam. And then the article goes on and says that employees were slain by gunmen who stormed the magazine in the Paris office in January, and Geller argued that the decision not to show the cartoons, which some Muslims find offensive, is a violation of free speech and amounts to, what do they call it? Here's a word that I've never seen, no-toeing to extremities. Wow, that's amazing. All right, I'm back. You know, there's so many headlines out there. So many headlines out there. And I'm just putting in my issue here. I got interrupted by a phone call just now. And I won't go into the details of the phone call, but I will go into it a little bit because the person that called me will possibly listen to this webcast. He knew that I was in the middle of doing it. And I'll say this right now. I'm always happy when the bad guy gets caught. When the bad guy gets caught, I'm always happy. I was happy when a bad preacher got caught. I was instrumental in making sure that he got caught, because if you're behind the pulpit saying one thing and then you're crooking, taking advantage of other people, subjecting other people to pain and disappointment, and then you call yourself a man of God, a person of ethics and things like that. I believe that evildoers, people that are evildoers, people that do evil, I was talking with should be persecuted to the highest degree. I think law enforcement should be used. I think the military power should be used. All powers that be under man's governing disposition should be used to bring these evildoers under constraint. And I think I have justification, since I'm a spiritual man and my homespun faith is Christianity. I'm talking about true biblical Christianity, not this 21st century crap going around here collecting tithes and all that kind of mess. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the shows and TBN and all that garbage. Now, you may think that's my opinion, calling it garbage. Well, it is. It's my opinion, and thank God I'm free in this country to say it. If I were in Iraq or Iran somewhere and said that other Ayatollah Khomeini or whatever, I'd be dead. Because they have me down as God only knows what. Romans chapter 13 says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Now, someone may say, who wrote that? The white man? You see, now I'm through with that altogether. I'm reading from a treatise that's well over 2,000 years old, before the white man crawled out of his cave in Europe and came over here to America. This was written. And so I don't know what you talking about. Didn't no white man, no black man, no Chinaman, none of that. If you knew anything historically about this document, you would know that it is an inspired book. And if you don't know anything about inspiration, read up on it. Get an education, edumacate yourself, if you will. Now it says in verse 2, therefore he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. In other words, if God has a police force, and I taught this, and I still believe this. If God has a police force, though they can be heathens, evil, and the law says stop, man is out there with a white cap on and some white gloves. I know I used to be a traffic officer. I said, stop. People act like they didn't want to stop the car. Their car was still moving and everything. Guess what? I stood right in front of their car, held up my white glove on my hand with my whistle in my mouth, beep, pointing at that car, saying stop. Most of them stopped. Buses stopped, trucks stopped, everybody stopped, because the city gave me the authority to wear that uniform and to cut off that traffic. Why? Because the cross traffic is going to pass, not you. You're going to wait until I'm the traffic light. I'm the authority. See, somebody got to be in charge. Therefore, verse 2, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, even though the authority could be a wicked one. God knows it's wicked. And I'm not saying that the police are wicked. I'm saying that the police that go around choking people to death are wicked and they need to be prosecuted. I'd say that about a person that's not a cop. Now, it says, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. In other words, if someone opposes these governing authorities, when the governing authority said something, they're going to bring condemnation. That's what happened when that black man got shot in Boston. That Muslim or whatever he was. See, that's what got those fools killed in Texas when they went down. You're going to go down there and mess with that lady because she drew a cartoon and you're going to teach somebody something. If they let that mess get cut loose in this country, it's going to be some mess going on here. As far as I'm concerned, when you figure out that there's crackpots like that out there, I don't care what you believe about your God, but when you start messing with other innocent people that ain't thinking about your God or what you believe about your God, then you're a dangerous fella and you need to be put to waste. That's why I'm proud to be an American citizen of this country. And I would die for the right to be able to say that. And I hope that all these creeps that they find going around here getting all these weapons, talking about they're going to go up and just start slashing people and stuff like that. You need to shoot those people down and put their rotten bodies in a pit somewhere. Because that is the epitome or the oblivion of insanity. And there got to be somebody with some kind of righteous moral indignation to do the right thing. I know that doesn't sound very proper. Oh, there's children in the house. Well, put them in the other room and act like adults. Oh, man, my country, my country. I was talking with that young man at the college, and he said that his mom just cannot abide with the culture. She can't take it. I think she's in her early 50s, he said. And he said she just can't deal with it. I said, yeah, a lot of people can't. My sister couldn't before she died. She told me, I just don't like it. I said, girl, if you don't like it, you're going to die, because the culture is not going to go back to the way it was. It's not going to go back to where it was when your children didn't talk back to you. The culture is not going to go back to the way it was. You know, I think about the civil rights movement and all of that. And like I told a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, and, you know, I'll make this perfectly clear. When I grew up, I was whitewashed. I was taught as a young child to obey all the laws, all the rules, and to conduct myself in this society as a nice, decent young man would. Protesting? I would never protest other than letting someone know that I disagreed. I would never damage anyone's property. I would never break anything, steal anything, do anything like that, because I was raised as a nice citizen of this country and to live properly, even though those around me were living bodaciously. I adopted a Christian faith that taught me to treat people with respect and dignity and to live a decent life. I do believe that I'm living a decent life today. I live as honestly and as decently as I can before my God and before my fellow citizens of human beings. I don't like everybody that I come in contact with. Some people that I come in contact with, I'm extremely excited about being a part of their company. There are certain people that say that they love God just as much as I do. I would rather be away from those people because I don't love God the way they love God. They're entitled to love God that way. They have these ideas that they think God is going to. That's why I don't go to a lot of these churches, that God is going to back up something, do something, and make something happen and give you something. I don't believe that. I know God's not like that. I don't know where they get their view from. They're entitled to it. They can have it. They can pursue it. They can argue for it. I know it's junk. And I will never, because I'm an educated black man, and I'm not going to give way to foolishness. I'm not going to do it. That's my thesis. I will never do it. Kind of tickle me. You know, I help out young men from time to time. They stay with me, and one of the fellas are back again. He's getting on his feet, supposedly saving his money, because he's going to be a daddy, you know. And I told him, I said, oh, no, I don't mind you. Hey, you know, camping out here is good to walk through the house and have somebody else to talk to. I said, but when you have your friends over and I'm tired of them, I just walk in and I just say, well, fine, thank you. Guys got to leave. Why? Because it's my house. Get out. This ain't his house. You visiting him, I'm tired of hearing you. Get out. That's where it's going to be. And that's where it's going to be in your life, too, because you are the, what can I say, the legislature, the governing factor in your life. I believe that God has given us this inalienable right. I think in this country, since I'm going to work making these payments on all these utilities and these bills and all this other stuff is coming in, well, yeah, all right. Ah, here's a black and white unit turning on my street, going right down the street, going from block to block, looking for people, looking for things. Go ahead, pull them over, stop them, search them, frisk them, do them. If I have nothing illegal on me, I have nothing to fear of a search by the LAPD. They don't scare me when I said, I'm in my little Mini Cooper and they look at my car and I look right back at them and I say, gentlemen, I'm trusting that you are having a wonderful day. And they say, yes, sir, we are. I say, well, may God continuously bless you and to give you wisdom to keep that day a perfect day. That's about all I'm saying. I ain't got nothing else to say. And if they say, pull the car over, I say, gladly, gladly. And then the scenario starts. Do you have anything illegal in that car? Yes, probably my behind. I'm a depraved creature who needs to be corrected, and are you the correcting device? See what I mean? Because I'm so transparent with it and so real with it that I can look at it all as a joke. People are going to do what they want to do, and if they have the power over you, they're going to do it to you. I was once thinking, because my daughters always tell me, Daddy, be careful. You're an old man, and they can easily push you down and rob you and beat you and kill you. And I tell my daughters, you're right. And if they get an inkling to do that, they just may do it. And I just may die that way, tragically. But I bet you one thing, while I'm dying that way, I will be loving them. Because that is the greatest attribute that my Lord ever gave me. Every blow upside my head is offered in love. And friends, listen to me. See, going to be giving these little webcasts, bringing you up to date. I still want you to love God, still want you to act right. I was telling the young man today, I said, I have a lot of friends. I says, but the friends that annoy me, I don't hang around them anymore because I'm tired of the same annoyance. And so I get around people that don't annoy me. You know what I do? I love to be around people. Think about a young man that I just got off the phone with. I love being around him because he will tell you what he feels with all veracity right in your face in a minute. And if you don't know who you're talking to and why he's talking that way, you will become very angry. So I ignore him whenever we cross each other, because you can always run into human beings that are going to cross you. They're going to cross you because that's what they're there for. You know, they're there to cross you. Well, in light of all this and what we have to look forward to, I want you to know this, that my summer thoughts today is that every time, man, I just went to the website, two black guys, what was it? I think it was on AOL News. I got to go there. I got to share that with you. Black guys, where was that? Where was that article at? I'm going to go to it because it was shocking to me. And black guys, here, DNA evidence leads to pardons of two North Carolina men. Now, these gentlemen were accused of rape and murder way back in 1983. The article reads like this. Two brothers, one of whom spent 3 decades on death row, were pardoned on Thursday in the 1983 rape and killing of a girl, clearing the way for them to receive $750,000 in compensation from the state. My goodness. $750,000. Governor Pat McCrory's pardons for Henry, and that's what it was, a pardon for this guy, Henry McCullum, and his half-brother, Leon Brown, happened after a judge vacated their convictions and ordered their release in September, citing new DNA evidence that points to another man killing and raping an 11-year-old, Sabrina Bowie. See? And so they were under the impression that he did that, but he didn't do that. He did not do that at all. Defense attorneys say that the brothers were scared teenagers who had low IQs when they were questioned by police and coerced into confessing, and that takes place a lot of times. McCullen was then 19 and Brown was 15. Now, let me lock my office door because I see some folk coming in. One of my sons are coming home, and I don't want to lose my point on this webcast. I want to make that perfectly clear. Don't want to lose my point. Now, since they were pardoned for a crime that they didn't do and spending decades in jail, and rightly so, they do deserve this money, some kind of compensation for their lives being taken away. Now, let me tell you why I like this age that I live in. Because you see, the age that I grew up in, back in 1983, they didn't have this technology. They did not have all of this stuff going on. In the middle of a webcast, I'll be out in a minute. They didn't have this technology. Now they have it. And thank God these guys are free. I would love to speak with them. I would love to speak with them if I would watch any kind of documentary, anything on television or anything like that. I would love to have seen and to heard exactly what these men felt. Had to be a tragic, tragic situation that was going on. And with these kinds of tragic situations, of course, we find that there are going to be some people that don't think that they should get the $750,000. I don't know what good the money's going to do. Those guys were in prison and there is, believe it or not, I'm going to say it, and I know this is going to sound strange to some of you as I end up this webcast. There is a God. There is a God. I'm glad those guys are out of prison, but it's a shame that we live in a world where such judgments are made on people without recourse against these people doing this. We are living in perilous times. I think that the only justice that any of us will ever receive is when we leave this life, leave this planet, and go back to our original cause, go back to the place where we came from. I do not believe in that negative report that there's nothing in life but oblivion, and after we're dead, we're done. I have to believe that there's going to be some type of recompense for the wickedness that is happening around us and amongst us at all times. And so, just thought that I say that. It's all right, 30 minutes into my webcast. There will be a webcast tomorrow. There will be, because I'm going to make it be. There's a lot of things that I can talk about. How about this? I'm thinking about starting a series, in a unique kind of Bible series, to bring it to you, to give you more insight as to what the Bible is really teaching, as an historical book, as a book that is spiritual on any level of any other spiritual book. And I know I could be reading, I have books in my library, I can be reading from Buddhism, I can be reading from Hinduism and other kinds of isms, but I want to read from the one that I can easily define who and what God is, because these young people need an anchor, and without that anchor, there is no hope for them. You've got to know that. There is no hope for them. Well, listen, it's been good. I got a little bit more work to do to take care of my business. You take care of yours, and I'll take care of mine, and I'll be talking to you real soon. Now look, stay in the Word of God. Pick up that Bible sometimes. Read it. I'm serious. And the reason that I say that, because if not, evil will attempt to sneak into your mind, sneak into your life, and wreck your life. Evil will do that very easily. And if you want to fight evil, what you have to do is you have to fight evil with good. Pick up that good book. Read it. If it's a couple of pages, or something, you know, keep your mind at ease. Devil keeps trying to put wicked things in my mind. I don't want wickedness to come in my mind. I have to concentrate on the good life. Noah, Paul wrote, he wrote, and he said, I know that after my departure, wolves, savage wolves, will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. And then he says, and from amongst your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Then he says, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. In other words, he was saying, be careful. There is going to be crooks and liars coming on the scene to bewitch you. This is PJ, your internet pastor, saying to all my friends, God bless you. Keep reading the book. Please share in the principles. But as you live, and let me say this as I end this webcast up, as you live with me in this new age, yes, you can hold to those ancient beliefs, but you better hold to them in a way where you can communicate actively to these people what's going on, because they have no idea. And if you start talking to them in the King James and get them to hold hands in circles and stuff like that, they're not going to do it. This generation doesn't even like touching. They have touching all for something else completely different. And I don't think that you can adequately love a person if you're not willing to touch that person, for them to have that interaction with you. But that's another piece of subject matter altogether, isn't it? Thanks for coming to the webcast. This is Pastor John, your internet pastor, saying whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay into the Word.